We can't start a minute early. Good evening and welcome to everyone to the December 19th, 2016 meeting of the Astoria City Council. Glad to see such a hearty group here tonight with just before the holidays, so thank you all for coming. Call to order, Chief Johnston.
Councilor Moore, here for the very last time.
Councilor Bryce.
Here.
Councilor Nemuel.
Here.
Mayor Lemire.
Here. First of all, before we begin, I'd like to ask for a moment of silence for Hal Snow. Hal was our city attorney for many, many years and served this community so well in so many ways, and also has been very, very active with the Oregon Community Foundation. So if you have a 501c3, you've probably been the beneficiary of some of Hal's work. So if you will join me in a moment of silence. Thank you. We'll start with reports of councilors. This is your last chance, Councilor Warr.
I guess then I will make a short report. Well, I'm not so sure. I came to Astoria 44 years ago on a six-month commitment, and I was so disappointed when I got here. I just wanted to be out of this godforsaken place. 6 months later, I decided this was my home, and I've never had another urge to leave it. I've had the wonderful opportunity over the years to volunteer, I guess you'd say, in many areas of the community. I was chairman of the Merchants Association. I spent a couple of terms on the board of the chamber. I have been in several different community organizations. I served for 12 years very happily on the school board, and then I've been 12 years on the city council. These past 12 years have been very, very special to me, and it's going to be very hard to leave it. I know it's time, but it's still going to be very hard to leave. These guys sitting here are so good to work with. They've led the city or made the city go in the right direction. We've been able over the last 12 years to do some pretty spectacular things. I think the two that I'm proudest of is I was able to have a hand in with a hospital in the mayor and many others, small bit, but bringing the OHSU into its partnership with Columbia Memorial Hospital. That was made very, very big dividends, but there are so many things in the community that have just gotten better and better and better. The tourism industry has really helped supplant the resource industry, which was the only things that we had before, and for what small part that I was able to play in it, I will be eternally grateful. And I thought I'd be happy when this day came, but I'm not. Thanks, everybody, so very much. That's my report.
I'd like Russ to come up to the podium up there so we can present him with this plaque. Some of you who were here for the boards and commissions, thank you, know that we gave it to him already and I took it back. I wanted to be sure that all of you had an opportunity to see the plaque and honor Russ Warr as well. So, let's get down here. I told Russ he's getting a plaque that he didn't even have to carve for a change. I just want to say thank you so much for Russ. He has been on the council for 12 years. That's a long time. It's a lot of meetings. Whoops. What did we do? I touched the mic. Okay. But we will miss him, in particular his work on transportation, because that's such an important area, and he has been our kind of go-to person on issues with ODOT and so forth. So we're going to miss him very much in that. And also, he's very fiscally responsible, and he makes sure that we're not spending more than we have, and that we are looking for the most efficient way to do everything. So we're going to miss Russ a lot, and we wish him and his wife Mo great good tidings.
Thank you so much.
One more time, thank you so very much, and I want to honor my replacement, or not honor my replacement, but welcome my replacement. There's going to be two of them. I'm delighted with both of them, and I think that Mr. Brownson and Bruce Jones are going to be terrific replacements. I think the city's going to be in really good hands, and so thank you and welcome.
Thank you, Mr.
Okay, Councillor Price.
Bruce Jones, you have a really big seat to fill here over here to my left, and this is the only time really Russ is really ever to my left is when we're sitting up here at council table. But you know, I have been
many folks to your left.
Well, yeah, there are. You know, I've been really, I was very surprised, very shortly after I came on council, I was really surprised to see really how often we agree with each other on things that I just didn't think we would. And when we have disagreed, it's been very congenial. And I've never felt like we were on opposite sides of a fence. We were on opposite sides of an issue. But there was no fence between us, and I think that is just so welcome to me in this day and age. And I've known Tom Brownson for a long time. Sometimes we really brainstorm pretty well together as well. And Bruce, I look forward to getting to know you. I think it is going to be a great council, but we will miss Russ. I'll miss you a lot.
Thank you.
Okay, Councilor Nemluel.
Thank you, Mayor. I didn't know if I was going to make it anywhere tonight because I've been a little under the weather, but I promised my kids earlier that I would take them to see Santa at the Flavel House, which I did, which was wonderful, so I thank the Historical Society for that event. I'm sorry I wasn't here to honor the boards and commissioners. If you're here right now, thank you so much for your service. It really means a lot to the city. There's some important issues on the agenda tonight, so I didn't want to miss out in those, and I really couldn't have missed Russ Warr's final council meeting. I am happy about the new city councilors coming on board, but I am sad that Russ Warr will no longer be serving on the council. Russ, I think that your voice represents many Astorians, and I think that you have been part of the decision-making that has led to some of Astoria's proudest achievements. And there's really nothing that I could give you that would really be able to represent such a gift that you've given to the city. It's sometimes a thankless job, but I did get you a little something.
Wow.
a loaf of bread. Peanut butter and jelly to help make up for all the nights that you got home late after meetings and missed dinner. So even though it can be a thankless job and you've missed lots of dinners, I thank you very much, sir.
Thank you. Okay, I have a couple of items during my report tonight. Counselors have been asked over and over again to explain our decision on whether or not to become a sanctuary city. And I want to explain what we did and why we did it. There will be time at the end of the meeting if you want to disagree with us. We would welcome you to do that at that time. Sanctuary city is a term used by cities to inform their citizens that they will not cooperate with federal authorities in identifying or prosecuting undocumented immigrants. It's become a pretty loaded term, often used derisively by advocates of tougher immigration restrictions. Both Police Chief Brad Johnson and myself have spoken at length with Jorge Gutierrez, who is the chair of the Lower Columbia Hispanic Council. It was Mr. Gutierrez's feeling that the designation can be more polarizing than helpful in a community like Astoria. Our decision not to declare Astoria a sanctuary city was in response to the wishes of the Hispanic community. The police chief has assured me that the Astoria Police Department does not ask about immigration status unless it is related to a crime that they are investigating. The Astoria City Council, the police chief, and city staff will remain attentive to the concerns and civil rights of our immigrant community, a community we value as a part of our larger Astoria community. The second thing I wanted to talk about, these are boards and commission appointments for the upcoming year. For Historic Landmarks Commission, Mac Burns and Michelle Diffenbach were reappointed. A new appointment is Katie Rathmel. Some of you may know Katie. She's gone through the Historic Preservation Program up at the college and now has her own business doing historic preservation, so I think she'll be a great addition to the Historic Landmarks Commission. Hospital Authority, Craig Hoppus is reappointed. And Parks and Recreation Board, Tammy Loughran has resigned, but we have the quorum that we need at this point, so there will be no appointments right now to the Parks Board. We have 7 people on that board, plus 2 ex officio members, and that's actually a much easier number to deal with than we've had in the past. Planning Commission, longtime Planning Commissioner McLaren Innes is stepping down. We are really going to miss McLaren. She's been just one of those stalwarts. McLaren, why don't you stand up? Dave Pearson has been reappointed to the Planning Commission. He is the chair of the Planning Commission. A new appointment is Jennifer Cameron Laddick. Maybe some of you know her from 14th Street Cafe. Jennifer and Misha run 14th Street Cafe, and she is a very interesting person. She has a doctorate in German literature. So it's probably the first time the Planning Commission has ever had anybody who could translate in German if we need it. So it's great. So welcome to those who are newcomers to the commissions, and thank you to those who have agreed to be reappointed. We really appreciate all your efforts. And that's the end of my report. Any changes to the agenda?
There are no changes.
Okay. The next section is our consent calendar, and these are a group of items that we approve with one motion unless someone has asked for an item to be removed from the consent calendar. Has anyone from the public asked for an item to be removed?
No request from the public.
What about from the commission? Anyone on the commission want to remove anything? Okay, could we have a motion to approve then?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we need a roll call. Chief Ames, please.
Councilor Ward.
Aye.
Councilor Price.
Aye.
Councilor Nemlower.
Aye.
Mayor Lemire.
Aye. Thank you. The first regular agenda item, and I suspect why a lot of you are here, is a public hearing regarding the appeal of a conditional use permit for marijuana retail.
So I'm going to start off the process for the staff report on this item and turn it over to our planner to be able to give a little bit more detail. But on September of this year, Daryl Bell applied for a conditional use permit to locate a medical recreational marijuana dispensary as a retail sales establishment at 3930 Abbey Lane in Building A, Unit 104. These are the condominium buildings which are located to the east side of 39th Street. A notice of appeal was submitted by Heather Hansen after the Planning Commission had approved this conditional use permit. Tonight, the council will be reviewing the public hearing, we'll be holding a public hearing and we'll be reviewing the appeal issues raised. And tonight it's recommended that following the hearing, the council determine whether or not to uphold, reverse, or remand the item to the Escoria Planning Commission. So Nancy Ferber, our planner, is going to continue with the staff report to be able to provide a little bit more detail on this matter.
Yes, thank you. That was much more succinct than I was going to do it. So I've created a little timeline, and for those who weren't at the previous Planning Commission, and actually a reminder for anyone who plans to speak tonight, we have some sign-in sheets in the back, as well as right over here, so it helps us keep our records clean and means that we'll be able to send information to you later on too. So make sure you sign in if you plan on speaking. In terms of where we are in the timeline process, I wanted to catch you up and also clarify some next steps and do a little introduction about what I plan on covering. So quick timeline, some information about the zoning. This is zoned S2A, which determines a lot of the use at the site, which is why this was being reviewed in the first place. I'll give some background info on what was presented to the Planning Commission, some criteria on what was approved by the Planning Commission, as well as criteria that was submitted by the applicant. And then just today, there was more information submitted by the applicant and the appellant. And then we'll have the public hearing section of this public hearing, so time for the public to chime in. We are at the appeal council hearing part on the 19th right now, so going backwards, the appeal was submitted on the 14th. There is an error on my council memo that says the 11th, but it was actually the 14th, which is in the 15 days submittal period, even counting the holiday. Just wanted to clarify that. This was approved by Planning Commission on the 25th, and the permit was originally submitted in September 22nd. I did want to remind council and the applicant that there's a 120-day window for any land use planning decision to be made, so pending that no waiver is turned in, this needs to be wrapped up by the 19th of January. As Brett mentioned, there's some options for next steps, which I've lined out, is either denying the appeal. This is where the language gets confusing. Denying the appeal means allowing the retail sales establishment to go through. Approving the appeal denies the retail establishment proposal, so you have to think backwards. And then remanding it just means it goes back to Planning Commission, which we'd need to schedule either in December or in early January to meet that 120-day period. A little background on the actual proposal itself. This was a request to locate a 950 square foot medicinal slash recreational marijuana dispensary, not just for retail sales. I want to be clear about that. It's not a grow site. It's not considered manufacturing, and there's no processing happening on site, no extractions. It's purely retail sales. This is a photo of the condo building. It's looking east, and it is the building furthest west on the site. There's an aerial view for those of you not familiar with it. It is in the S2A zone, and the site is unique in that it was rezoned, excuse me, from general industrial to the S2A zone in, I didn't put it on there, in 2014, September 2014, through an ordinance that was approved by City Council. So just to review a little bit of the zoning, the S2A is short for tourist-oriented shoreland zone. We like our acronyms in planning. So that means it's a district that was intended to provide for mixed-use tourist-oriented development that retains and takes advantage of that existing working waterfront there. This isn't the only area in town that's S2A. The S2A is shown in purple right now. And the uses permitted and tend to be compatible with pedestrian orientation, so a lot of foot traffic in the area, as well as an emphasis on rehabilitating and reusing existing structures. As with any use in our zones, there are outright permitted uses as well as conditional uses, which is why this was initially reviewed by the Planning Commission. Anything that requires a conditional use or is a conditional use requires a conditional use permit, which means it's reviewed by Planning Commission. This particular project fell into the non-tourist oriented retail sales establishment category, which I've outlined here. I won't read it through, but the key takeaways is that it's a non-tourist oriented retail sales. If it was tourist oriented, geared towards tourism, was flat out for tourists, it wouldn't have been reviewed at all by Planning Commission, but because it fell into that category on the right, it went through the conditional use permit process. With that process, there's criteria that's reviewed by Planning Commission, as which the applicant has to prove their story. They explain their narrative and how the criteria fits with their project. So I've outlined some very basic criteria that was reviewed at Planning Commission. These slides were also at Planning Commission, so this isn't new. Criteria reviewed by Planning Commission is in the green. It's uses allowed in the S2A zone, outdoor storage areas, parking, all of these uses and things associated with the proposed use come into play. We look at accessibility for customers and staff, how customers will be accessing the site, where they'll be parking, how they'll be getting there. We look at the availability of similar uses, which I'll get to in a second, as well as availability of other appropriate zones for these type of uses, and desirability or suitable zones for the sites. All the issues in red on the other side, kind of pink, are issues that are important but aren't necessarily criteria for either appeal or reviewed by Planning Commission. And I know it's a tough thing to wrap your head around, but some of those are the market values of condos, and a lot of these concerns were brought up by the condo owners or tenants. Legal policies for marijuana, proximity to children except for schools, which we'll get there in a second, as well as existing construction status at the condos, the restriction of the number of pot shops citywide, which we'll also talk about, how this could affect pets, the Cannery Loft Condo Owners Association rules and bylaws, as well as the current site and situation, so hallways and staircases and some security concerns were brought up by condo owners but weren't criteria for review. Oops. Sorry, guys. Digging in a little bit more, there are a couple unique things about this site, and because it's marijuana related, the OLCC rules and regulations apply in addition to our development code. And the OLCC requires that marijuana dispensaries be located 1,000 feet from schools. I pulled up our GIS, and this location specifically is about 1,400 feet away from Astor Elementary. So it's approved by OLCC and ORS regulations. The applicant submitted paperwork that's just pending for OLCC approval, but I wanted to make sure that was covered. In terms of other sites that are suitable, I wanted to pull up a map, and I actually have to thank Shelley, our GIS technician, for pulling this together, of current sites in Astoria for dispensaries and grow sites. And a couple of these are pending, so It's not as many as it looks. We currently have 3 grow sites. Those are the ones in orange. Excuse me. 5 retail sites that are permitted and in operation right now, and then 3 pending retail locations, including this proposal. And I know this is hard to see. It's also in your packet. But I wanted to bring this up because it helps a little bit visually to see how they're spatially located and how they're pretty naturally dispersed right now versus being clustered in any one area. And site suitability is something we look at, so criteria-wise. I'm happy to come back to this if there are other questions about pending sites and where current dispensaries and grow operations are. The other criteria reviewed for this conditional use permit at Planning Commission were parking requirements. Parking is determined by the use in the zone. So it's true for any zone. Any retail use anywhere in the city will require 1 space per 500 square feet, gross square feet, and we round up. So this specific site was at 950 square feet, which requires 2 parking spaces. When the Cannery Loft location was rezoned, it went from GI to S2A, and the parking allotment was looked at then. So we sort of inherited some parking rules and regulations about how parking is allocated at that site. Currently, there are 7 spaces allocated for commercial parking, so not looking at the residential use at all. 8 are currently accounted for. 2 are required for this proposal, which leaves 1 for future commercial use, which again is determined by the type and size of establishment. Some other issues that were brought up by and addressed by the applicant concerned odor mitigation, and the applicant can speak more to this about the specifics, but they are proposing 2 types of carbon filter filtrations to mitigate any odor on site. They'll be positioned at the opposite ends of the store to hopefully eliminate any odors. The applicant also proposed surveillance, and as I'll talk about this in a second too, but as a condition of approval, which the Planning Commission approved, the applicant agreed to work with the Astoria Police Department to work out a surveillance and security plan. And the applicant also agreed that there'd be no consumption of cannabis allowed on the site, including the parking lot. I've included, this is very texty, the 8 conditions of approval that were approved by Planning Commission. They're also in your packet. I won't read through them. They're pretty general toward any land use application. Any signage would require a sign permit. So it's basically not the last time that staff would be interacting with this applicant. They would still need to conform to the condominium bylaws. They'd have to address some safety concerns, work on their garbage and recycling, and come up to standards, as well as submitting some OLCC paperwork and getting their business license in with the city, which is all pending on this decision. Which brings us to the appeal process. So the appeal process outlined in Article 9 identifies 4 key areas that have to be met, and they have been met. The appellant identified the decision for appeal, this is all in the paperwork, filed within those 15 days, including the holiday. She has standing on record, so she spoke at Planning Commission and identified grounds for review. Again, I outlined some next steps so we're clear on where we need to go from here. A quick review, this is very small, I'm sorry. The conditional uses are all outlined for any conditional use permit, which is acronym CUP, if you're confused by any of the acronyms. And there's 5 key areas, and there's a lot of information in those 5 key areas, but they're all the criteria that I've sort of outlined already. So it's information about overloading the use of public services, so sewer water facilities, drainage, making sure fire and police still have access to the site, addressing any topography soil issues, making sure there's an adequate site plan and layout for transportation, making sure that parking requirements are met. All of those fall under the criteria in Article 11. In addition to that criteria, the appellant raised some issues of concern of her own, which are outlined in the letter that she submitted with her appeal. And I've clarified some of the code. Her issues are on the left. I've picked out some key ones. And some clarification for code I'm happy to go into if there's questions are on the right. So although they're important issues she brought up, they're not necessarily criteria that's applicable to a conditional use permit. So for example, the number of sites, we'll skip down to the bottom, the second one, the number of sites in the city, or dispensaries in the city, aren't regulated by development code. So there could potentially be more than the current 3, 4, 5 dispensaries. And that was an issue she brought up in her appeal. So it's important to think about what's actually in this original list versus some of the issues that were brought up. Some of the other issues are additional security concerns that the condo owners were concerned about. And again, the original applicant submitted some security plans. The appellant also was concerned about meeting the required amount of parking spaces and where customers would be parking and how the traffic flow would affect the condos, as well as lighting that would also be regulated by the condo association. So there's some give and take on what the bylaws of the condo association allows versus what the development code allows. So this is really outlining what's reviewed in our development code. Oops. And that's sort of where we are right now. So I'm happy to answer any questions. Again, if you plan on speaking, we ask that you sign in to keep our record straight.
I have some questions, but I think I'll wait till we have the public hearing. Could we have, let's see, I'll open the public hearing at this point. Does anyone object to the jurisdiction of the City Council to hear this matter at this time? Does any member of the City Council feel he or she has a conflict of interest or any ex parte contacts to declare? Okay.
I've had no ex parte contact, but I did make a site visit this weekend to get a better idea of the entrances and the parking, as we are shown in the graphics that come in the came in the packet.
Persons speaking tonight should address their remarks to whether or not the application in question meets the necessary criteria, and if not, state why. The applicable criteria are listed in the staff report and may be obtained from the community development director at the staff table. Failure to raise an issue in person or by letter to the City Council means an appeal of that same issue will not be permitted. If you wish to speak, please come forward to the lectern, give your name and address, and then give your testimony. So we'll start with tonight with the testimony by the appellant and persons in favor of the appeal. So if you are the appellant, would you come forward at this time and give us your name and address?
And Mayor, are you going to establish a time limit that's maybe different from our standard 3 minute for the appellant and also the applicant?
Yeah, the appellant and the applicant will each have 10 minutes. The other speakers, we would ask you to limit to 3 minutes because we have a lot of you that we want to hear from. Okay.
Heather Hansen, 3990 Abbey Lane, Astoria. Good evening, Mayor and councilors and staff. Thank you for agreeing to consider this appeal of the Planning Commission's decision to approve the proposed marijuana dispensary in the Cannery Loft Condominium Building A. I will review a few highlights from the written materials I submitted, and I don't believe we're going to have a lot of testimony. So we're trying to focus on the matter at hand rather than have a lot of people coming up here. So, the evaluation of any proposed use relative to the applicable review criteria is found in the staff report. And it includes findings and conclusions, which are generally adopted by the Planning Commission to support their decision. The evaluation in this case did not address the fact that the proposed use is in a residential building. Sure, it's a mixed-use zone, and sure, commercial uses are the expected use on the ground floors of the condo buildings. But that doesn't negate the fact that there are 30 residences sharing the same building and 33 residential units right next door that should be considered in the evaluation. I'll get back to that shortly. At the Planning Commission hearing, comments made by several of the Planning Commissioners indicated that they felt compelled to approve the use since it met the criteria. There was also discussion about the ground floor being intended for commercial uses, implying that any commercial use would therefore be approved. And one commissioner mentioned that they couldn't treat this proposed use differently than any other proposed commercial use. So let me address those issues. The commercial use category is very broad and includes personal and professional services, offices, retail, and other types of uses. And the specific uses within those categories vary quite a bit in the impacts they may have on adjacent neighbors and uses. When the review criteria are clear and objective, such as a 20-foot setback or a 30-foot height limit, then staff can make the decision because they either do or do not meet the criteria. They're really just yes or no answers to questions. But when the review criteria are subjective and discretionary, as they are for conditional uses, then the decision is made by the Planning Commission. And there is nothing that requires them to approve all uses that may be allowed in a particular zone as to whether this particular use meets the criteria. One of the conditional use review criteria found in Section 1130A1 states, the use is appropriate at the proposed location. Well, that's pretty subjective, so what does that mean exactly? If it means merely that if the zoning allows a commercial use, then it must be approved, then there will be no need to go to the Planning Commission. Webster defines appropriate as especially suitable or compatible. How can a decision maker determine whether the proposed use is suitable or compatible without evaluating the impact to the 30 residences in the same building and the 33 residences next door? And yes, the city code does not regulate the number of dispensaries per se, but what it does go on to say, it mentions considering the availability of similar existing uses. This is why I have mentioned that there are five existing permitted marijuana dispensaries in Astoria, one as close as 29th Street, and two more in the works, and this would make eight. What valid argument can be made that another one is needed so badly that the other five dispensaries are not available? By comparison, there are three pharmacies and one liquor store in Astoria. Do we really need another marijuana dispensary so badly that it needs to go into a building with 30 existing residences? So assuming you feel that the other five existing dispensaries aren't sufficient or available, you can consider the compatibility of the specific use that is proposed. What factors reasonably relate to whether the proposed use is compatible with existing residences? Well, security, first and foremost. This particular use is a cash-only business selling a controlled substance. Those two factors alone require extra security, including video cameras. The applicants also mentioned that they would patrol the parking lots to make sure customers are not loitering or using the products on site. The requirements for patrols were not included as a condition of approval, but even if it were, doesn't the need to do all of this indicate that the use may not be appropriate for the location? Also, there are no guarantees that the applicants will be the managers of the proposed store. I mentioned in the written testimony I provided that the state doesn't allow marijuana dispensaries in areas zoned residential. I also pointed out that while this regulation doesn't apply in this case, it does indicate that there are concerns about co-locating a marijuana dispensary with residences. For example, a family with a young child lives in the unit directly above space 102, and there are many single women and retirees who live in the two condo buildings, so security is very important to our safety and well-being. Needing to add video cameras right where we enter our building will only make us feel like we are living somewhere unsafe. Access to the building, which is shared, yes, there are locked doors to get to the elevator from the ground floor and to the upper floors from the stairwells, but you can't get to the secured doors without walking along the same shared passageways and parking areas as the customers. The proposed access to the store currently doesn't exist. It's directly across from the locked door to the elevator where the shared mailboxes currently are. The covered passageway is 65 inches wide, so a bit more than 5 feet. So if you're entering the elevator area from that door, you'd be directly across from the proposed entry to the store. So imagine as you're getting your keys out to open the door, you'd be constantly looking over your shoulder to make sure no one is right behind you. This would be true for any retail use that has a steady stream of customers, but it's even more of a concern for a store that has a lot of cash on hand. I have no idea how the building could be retrofitted to address separating the access. The hours of operation, the number of hours the store would be open was mentioned for sure and discussed. The application says 12 hours, and the presentation to the Planning Commission, the applicant mentioned 10 hours. But the actual hours of operation were not mentioned or considered. In other words, will they be open 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., noon to midnight? And don't the hours of operation matter, and wouldn't they affect all the residences? The number of customers coming and going, you know, you need to estimate that, and the applicant estimated there would be about 50 customers a day, but what is that based on? And if accurate, there would be roughly 4 to 5 customers per hour, assuming customers arrived evenly throughout the day. It was also described as being more like a wine bar, but since it's not legal to use the products on site, how could it be like a wine bar? In any case, the only use being considered is a dispensary. The other commercial uses in the condo buildings are appropriate and compatible because they are mainly offices and personal services that have a very limited number of customers and deliveries per day. In the land use planning profession, whenever there is uncertainty about how to apply a particular section of the code, you look to the intent or purpose of the regulations in that section to see if the proposed use is consistent with the intent. For conditional uses, the purpose statement is, the purpose of the conditional use process is to allow, when desirable, uses that would not be appropriate throughout a zoning district or without the restrictions in that district, and would be beneficial to the city if their number, area, location, design, and relation to the surrounding property are controlled. As a condo resident and professional planner, I struggle to come up with an effective way to control for the negative impacts of the proposed retail use on the surrounding residential units. Limiting the hours of operation would be one step in the right direction, but adding video cameras or security lighting or parking lot patrols are not reasonable outcomes. None of the other dispensaries in Astoria share these issues. Would any of you choose to live in those conditions here in Astoria? We ask you to please consider the safety and well-being of the residents in the 63 units impacted by this decision when determining whether the location is appropriate for the proposed use. Thank you. Okay,
thank you very much. I think what we'll do is have the folks, both the appellant and the applicant, but also then can we ask questions, this council ask questions at that point of anybody here, or do we need to do it right now?
I mean, if you were to do that, you would need to ask Ms. Hansen to come back up.
I just don't want to close the hearing and then have the opportunity to ask
questions.
I mean,
there would be, and the appellant would have actually the final rebuttal after the individuals have testified. So in the process, Ms. Hansen would be able to come up at the end.
Okay. Anyone else want to speak in favor of the appeal? Okay.
My name is Jim Ray, 62 West Bond. I serve on the board at the Astoria Rescue Mission, and I'm aware of the effects of addictive substances. I strongly oppose allowing a pot shop in the condominium complex. Every pot shop is the target of armed robbery, strong arm robbery, theft, and violent crime. Why would you, our community guardians, approve such a proposal? Everyone in this room and everyone in our society is alarmed at the trillions of dollars spent on building new prisons, operating expenses, maintaining prisons, and the more than 2 million individuals incarcerated in these prisons and jails. The court costs for processing criminal activities amount to billions of dollars annually. Annual payouts due to insurance claims arising from drunk and impaired acts affect everyone in inflated insurance premiums. The pain and suffering among children and families caused by addictive behavior cannot be measured. If it were possible to erase the effects of pot, drugs, alcohol from the lives of every incarcerated individual, the prison population would be reduced by more than 80%. 80%. I know what I'm talking about. As the food buyer for every state institution in California, state prisons, state hospitals, youth authority facilities, and special schools, for many years, I was in every one of those institutions. I also served as a warehouse manager for Folsom Prison and California State Prison, Sacramento. I've had dozens of inmates in my custody. I know what I'm talking about. We live in a deteriorating society which is infected with the desire, as one NBA player put it, to be as bad as I want to be. You know that liquor licenses have been denied to applicants because concerned citizens raised their voices with legitimate justification. The residents who have invested their life savings in these condos will become victims of the crimes resulting from having this proposed pot shop on the ground floor of their multi-story homes. You can prevent this travesty. You would not tolerate a pot shop in your house. You know about the very recent fire right here in Astoria related to a local pot shop. Can you imagine a fire in this high-density, multi-story housing complex? Many of the condo residents are elderly. Their attempted escape from the pot-related fire could prove fatal. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and please deny this application. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else to speak in favor of the appeal? Okay. Anyone who would speak against the appeal? That is, you're in favor of upholding. Oh, you're the applicant.
No, this is the applicant, Daryl.
Okay.
I'm counsel to the applicant.
Okay.
You both like to speak?
Okay. You want to come on up?
If you want to maybe give them as a group 10 minutes to be able to,
sure.
to do
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
It's Mayor, council members, commission staff, citizens of Astoria, thanks for the opportunity for us to speak on behalf of our project. The first point I would like to point out is that all of the issues raised in Ms. Hansen's appeal have been raised, issued, and considered on multiple levels. And while she says that the prohibition against retail dispensaries in an exclusively residential neighborhood represents a judgment call by the legislature that these are not appropriate for purely residential neighborhoods, it also reflects legislative determination that it is appropriate for mixed-use residential commercial neighborhoods, such as this one. And moreover, the state legislature has already considered these issues, and the city council considered this issue in some sense by not prohibiting it. The Planning Commission, in a very well-reasoned determination, considered it and approved it. And this would essentially represent the third or fourth bite at the apple on an issue that's already been considered for several years now on both the state and local level. And as a fundamental matter, listening to Ms. Hansen's comments, I think it's important to note out that the conditional use is not committed to absolute discretion, and that the use of the word appropriate in the very complicated land use planning context of the state and local regimes is very different from the word appropriate in the common parlance. For the most part, if this issue and every conditional use application were committed to absolute discretion, it would eviscerate the entire point of the conditional use criteria, as well as allow for a certain co-option of the legislative process by angry citizens. The simple fact is that the result of legislative processes does not always yield the result that you want, but the system is designed to consider these, and consider these issues is exactly what the Planning Commission did. First off, the Development Code does address this situation through the conditional use criteria, and every one of the conditional use criteria was considered, determined, and decided in the applicant's favor. It's also important to note that the residential use that is the focus of the protection of the appeal is itself a conditional use within the S2A zone. Moreover, it is a use that probably has a greater impact in the coastal zone than a 950 square foot retail establishment. Finally, well, moving on, the appellant and the second person who testified, they simply presuppose that there are negative effects. For one, the Oregon Liquor Control Commission dictates the hours of operation of the retail dispensaries, and they presuppose that there are going to be negative or deleterious effects of this particular retail use, but they don't necessarily provide any fact-based evidence. It's all hypothetical and anecdotal at best. Moreover, the project proponents, the applicants for the conditional use application, have made multiple attempts to work with the condominium association to address and mitigate those impacts that may or may not occur. One of the ideas that's been floated is a good neighbor agreement, which Daryl Bell, the project proponent himself, is going to discuss later. And in order to yield more time for Mr. Bell, I guess
Yeah. Before you leave the podium, I'd like you to state your name and your address, please.
My name is Perry Salzauer. I'm a partner at Greenlight Law Group. We are a law firm. We're based in Portland. We work in the cannabis industry, but not specifically in the cannabis industry. We represent clients on land use matters throughout the state, as well as corporate matters and litigation.
Okay, so you are the attorney for the...
For Darryl Bell.
For yes. Darryl Bell. Okay, thank you. Okay, Mr. Bell?
And while Mr. Bell's coming up, I want to make sure that for the record, that it's noted that there is testimony that was received in writing throughout the day-to-day, which is provided at the dais. And so I want to make sure that that's called to the council's attention as well.
Thank you.
Okay. So I'm Darryl Bell. I propose to...
Address, please.
3930 Abbey Lane.
Okay.
Here in Astoria. You know, it doesn't feel good to be the harbinger of doom. You know, it really doesn't. And, you know, I understand completely why there are concerns. But I guess what I want to communicate as the managing partner is that if given the opportunity, we will be good stewards of the community. That I can assure you. You know, in doing so, we will maintain a clean, safe, and tasteful environment for both the employees and our customers. Keep it in mind that the residents are above us and would want the same thing. We will provide comprehensive state-of-the-art surveillance and security that will, in most cases, exceed the requirements by the state. And it seems like there is some concern about the surveillance that we would implement. I really don't understand how it could be something that would compromise just the integrity of the community. You know, we will monitor the premises to ensure there is no loitering or suspect behavior. We will honor the parking assignments as stipulated by the cannery lofts. We will implement a carbon filter odor mitigating system. We're going to hire locally. You know, all we ask is for the opportunity to open our business and be a part of the community. The last thing I want to do is be an impetus for some type of acrimony that flows into just the, you know, the body that is the community. So that's all I have.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who wants to speak against the appeal?
Good evening. My name is Terrell Buckner. I have recently moved to Seaside, Oregon. I'm not sure the address of it yet, but I'm relatively close at this point. To further some of the comments that Darryl said, and security seems to be a top priority of many of the residents. Also, of what Mr. Ray said, I wanted to just point out the fundamental difference between the fire that occurred at the dispensary in Astoria. It was also processing cannabis, which we will not be doing on site. There's a fundamental difference in just retail sales and processing. Processing uses highly flammable natural gas liquids that won't be on site at all. So any concerns about fires, which will result in elderly individuals or any individual having to escape a danger like that, should not be an issue at all. As far as safety is concerned, we addressed this matter in the previous hearing, but we'll certainly do so again. The safety issues, the cameras, and the patrol in the parking lots were brought up not only to ensure that the residents, the customers, patrons, and individuals in that community would be safe, but it was also brought to our attention that there have been previous instances in which residents felt unsafe. So in addition to securing our establishment, we felt that going above and beyond what was required of us would be in the benefit of the residents and the community as a whole. Can't have it two ways. Can't tell us that you currently feel unsafe without a marijuana business there, and then we propose additional security requirements, and then tell us that those security requirements that we propose will make you feel unsafe inherently. Most of the issues that allow us to operate a dispensary by granting us the conditional use permit have been, we have already not only addressed, but we've already secured the requirements necessary to operate a dispensary within that area. There have been no additional information presented by the appellant that would or should reverse the decision that was previously made. For that, I hope you are in agreement with us that the appeal should be denied in this case.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Hello, Mayor, Council members. Thank you for your time. Thank you, everyone, for being here. I'm Dr. Ted Forkum, 3990 Abbey Lane. I'm also the commercial owner of this particular unit and many other units. I acquired many of the commercial units in 2012 and in this particular unit in 2014 and commenced into a rezoning process during that time. I acquired property there in 2009 and I've actually had property in Clatsop County since 2014 and my family since 1996. So I feel like I'm fairly well ingrained in the community and invested certainly in the Cannery Loft complex. And this particular unit has sat vacant since 2007. And so, you know, in part, it is being blocked by residential mailboxes that block the entrance egress to that particular unit, which is in fact a portion of a litigation between myself, my company, and the HOA board. As a result, the adjacent units, which is an alternative location to place this, they have leaks with mold that are coming from the residential units above and their units leaking down into the commercial spaces. So in essence, this is the dry space to lease at that complex. So that is kind of the choice of that specific location. The original zoning of the complex is for commercial use, and again, as pointed out, that the residential units were for our secondary conditional use as well. And I feel that the decision makers of the city, the Planning Commission, approved this application for good reason. I did send you a letter, which I hope you've had the opportunity to look at. I'm not going to go through, obviously, all of it. I know you guys are very busy, and I appreciate your time. But I can say that I, too, had a new knee-jerk reaction to the use of an application of a marijuana dispensary. I've had over 16 people inquiring about having an dispensary there. I chose Mr. Bell because of his willingness to add extra security measures, bring artisans and local artisans in to augment his business. And I can say that I've also done a lot of research looking at the impact of dispensaries on mixed-use complexes. I've visited them, I've looked at peer review materials as well. I have had complaints about every commercial tenant at the complex: day spa, mini storage, mental health counselors, medical offices, law offices, matter of fact, even Jim Ray's charitable that I use for storage, yoga studios, and commercial. So apparently there's no perfect commercial tenant for the cannery loft residents and owners, but I don't believe that there's ever anything perfect. So in that regard, I think this is a very viable tenant, and I would request that the city council members respectfully submit that they refer and defer to the Planning Commission's decision. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Would the council like time to read these letters that have just come in? I would like to take a few minutes just to, so we know that we have all the, we read through 199 pages today, but there's more. So if you'll just bear with us, we'll read through this very quickly.
While we're reading, can we take a 5-minute break?
Sure. Yeah. I guess it's really what he just said, basically.
Thank you.
So the thing is you need to keep on asking whether there anybody, if there's anybody else. Make sure and ask one more time, but then by statute, she has legal opportunity to rebut. So you have to call Heather back up.
I think it's our finance director, or maybe Jimmy, since he's the new guy.
So you can have clarification from staff. It's just if you have questions, you have to do it before the public hearing.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
Okay, is there anyone else who wants to speak before we allow Ms. Hansen the opportunity for rebuttal? Anybody else? Going, gone. Okay. Ms. Hansen.
Okay, there's just a few items. I might mess up the first name. Is it Perry Salzar? Close, sorry. Yes, I did bring most of these issues up before, but what's different is that when the Planning Commission gets the evaluation and you're looking over the staff report and the findings, if something is not even mentioned or evaluated, it's completely different than someone like myself coming and testifying about it, and then it's like coming from the perspective of someone complaining as instead of coming from the perspective of evaluating it seriously. So, for example, what I mean by that is if the fact that there's residences in the building and next door was part of the evaluation, there probably would have been more discussion about how you access the building and where the security cameras are and, you know, those kind of issues related to security. So then there was a mention that the applicant has tried multiple times to work with the condo association. I'm not aware that that was ever even brought up with the condo association. I asked a few folks who go to those meetings and they don't recall it ever being brought up. And Daryl Bell, I'm not sure why he's giving 3930 as his residence, because I'm pretty sure he doesn't live there. That's the business address, or unless he's living in one of the condos that I don't know about. And why is state-of-the-art surveillance a problem? Well, it's a problem because you wouldn't normally need it. I mean, it's the kind of thing where, you know, if you're living in New York City or some big city where there's lots of people coming off the street and crime right there in your front of your building, sure, you're going to want really good security, but that's not normally how you live in Astoria. And yes, there was mention of there being people wandering in from the Riverwalk and using some of the dark corners and areas as, you know, bathrooms and such, but the main reason for that is that we don't have on-site management for this condo building. They're in the Portland area. So there's a lot of times there's light bulbs that are out for long periods of time, and there's just a lot of dark corridors and stairways. And that's just the reality of how it is. So this would just add to that. And it's just, I don't know. I wouldn't want to live in a place where, you know, there's cameras everywhere. It just doesn't seem like compatible with living in Astoria. We not only have an out-of-town property manager, but we would have basically an absentee landlord. Ted lives part-time at that residence, not full-time, so there wouldn't be anybody to deal with it in a timely basis. And having a use like this would just attract a lot more of the public. It's an attractor, you know, bringing people off the Riverwalk, et cetera. Ted mentioned that there's local artisans that would be part of this. That is not part of this application. I mean, that would be nice, but it's not what you're reviewing, and it's not part of the application. And if there were complaints about other commercial uses, I'm not aware of it, people being so upset that they have been complaints to the city or others about the uses. And yeah, there are some folks that are just grouchy in general and don't like anything to change, but that's not why I'm here today. And by the way, I mean, I am a renter, so this doesn't have a long-term impact on me personally, assuming I'm going to buy a place, but I do care about a lot of the folks I've become friends with in the years that I've lived there, and this just feels like it really doesn't feel compatible to me. Because there are other options in Astoria, and there are no other circumstances like this for a marijuana dispensary within the city limits. And I'd be happy to answer any questions you were mentioning you might have.
Okay. Anyone on the council have a question?
Yeah, I have one question, if you wouldn't mind, and it is something that wasn't addressed, but what percentage of the residents at the Cannery Lofts are opposing this?
I don't remember the count off the top of my head, but there was, with the Planning Commission packet, there was quite a few signatures, and some folks weren't available to sign it in time. There was one person who testified in favor. I don't know of anybody else. I haven't heard of anybody else. I can't give you a correct answer to say what percentage, but I haven't heard anybody other than one person in favor of it.
Okay. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Yes, Ms. Hansen. So would you say that there's a large number of residents who are your neighbors who would agree that this does not feel like a compatible use to your neighborhood?
Yes, that is correct.
Okay, and would you say that yourself and others feel that this type of business would not contribute to the attractiveness or the livability of your neighborhood?
Absolutely not.
Okay, I mean, thank you.
I would agree, yes. Thank you.
For Ms. Hansen, I can only say I did go through the list that you gave of residents who signed the petition, and if I counted right, there were 19 actual units. There were more people, but 19 units at 3930 and 9 units at 3990. So, and at 3930, there are 30 or 33?
There's 30 and 3930 and 33 and 3990.
Okay. So about two-thirds of the units.
Yes, and there are still, I don't know if anybody knows. I guess you could look through the list to figure it out, but there's a fair number of folks who come down on weekends, so they weren't around to, you know, to respond to that.
Ms. Councillor Price, did you have anything else?
Not for Ms. Hansen, perhaps for Mr. Bell or his attorney.
If you were to go back to have Mr. Beller's attorney to be able to speak, then you would need to afford Ms. Hansen the ability for she will always have final rebuttal.
Okay.
So if that's the case, Mayor, you would need to be able to make that determination.
Okay. Did you want to have Mr. Bell or?
Well, I basically just have one question, which is, I know that Mr. Bell, I read somewhere in the packet that you have been involved in building marijuana shops in other places in Oregon, perhaps Portland, I'm not sure. Are you aware of any retail establishments that are in residential condos?
And I want to make sure that Mr. Bell comes up and speaks into the microphone.
Thank you.
So you're asking if I'm aware of any dispensaries that are in kind
on
of
the
mixed
ground
use.
Floor in commercial space of a otherwise residential building.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I'm building one in Rockaway right now.
In a condominium in Rockaway?
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Okay.
There's that.
And you have the permits for that, and that's going forward?
It's going forward.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, there are so many dispensaries in and around the state that there could be. I honestly don't know.
Okay. Thanks. My other question was for staff.
Yeah, I have questions for staff.
And we'll be able to have clarifications from staff once the public hearing is closed.
Okay.
Any questions for either the applicant or the appellant before we close the public hearing?
No.
Okay. Thank you. The public hearing is closed, and we'll now have time.
I just want to make sure. I want to clarify. You need to make sure that Ms. Hansen doesn't have any final statements.
Oh.
Just very simply.
Okay.
I guess I would want to know. I don't want to keep this going all night, but the Rockaway situation. What is the design of the building like? Where are the entrances? Where's the parking? You know, that kind of thing. I don't know that it's equivalent.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Council questions or clarification from staff? Councillor Price. I did.
Well, I was surprised to hear that the purpose, 11.010, is not considered a criteria. Does that mean that council cannot consider that as well?
Sorry, which criteria?
In the development code, 11.010, conditional uses, Article 11, under purpose, because it seems to me that if you take the purpose away, I'm not sure what the point of this article would be.
Blair, do you want to comment on that in terms of approval criteria versus reviewing the purpose statement determining whether a conditional use should be approved or not?
Well, in any kind of statute, the purpose statement is merely an aid to interpreting the language that follows it. So it'll give you a background or a context in which to interpret the rest of the statute. It's not an independent criteria.
So you would consider it appropriate to, when you have a purpose that says a conditional use process is to allow when desirable, to ask what is desirable and to whom? What is desirable about this project and to whom?
That would be one of the ways of interpreting what follows, yes.
Right, and then one could also ask, how is it beneficial to the city?
That's true.
Okay. I would ask staff those questions.
Well, I mean, I would say that it's not staff's determination. It's the city council's determination.
Okay.
As to whether or not you feel that it's the planning commission's decision.
Desirable or
right.
beneficial?
Right. What we have under review right now is, was the determination by the planning commission correct? And if it was, then move forward with adopting the findings that were adopted by the Planning Commission. If the council does not concur, then there need to be direction provided by the City Council as to why you feel that it's not. And so that feedback would need to be specifically provided by the full council.
Okay. Well, I'm going to listen to my fellow councilors before I go further.
Well, on the heels of prohibition, I think these are murky times. It concerns me that so many residents at the Cannery Lofts don't want this type of business on the ground floor. And so I've taken notice of that, and I've carefully reviewed the Planning Commission's work and the staff report and the findings of fact. What I think is missing from the findings of fact, I'm not saying that I don't think that community development and our planner did an excellent job, but just what I feel based on hearing the public feedback is that the housing element is missing from it. The staff report and the findings of fact notes that the proposal is compliant with the comprehensive plan. It may be in terms of economic goals, but I do not believe that it is when it comes to the housing element. It's not in a residential zone. However, there are a high amount of residences there. And there are a few items in the housing element of the comprehensive plan that I think apply here. CP.220.6, protect neighborhoods from incompatible uses. We've heard from the appellant that indeed this is not a compatible use, and there are many residents who feel that way too. Also, CP.220.1, maintain attractive and livable residential neighborhoods for all types of housing. We've heard from the appellant that she, and she believes others, do not feel this is attractive or good for the livability there. Given that the housing element was not included in the staff report as applicable criteria, I would recommend that, given that this is not just an area with residential use, with non-residential uses, that there are residential uses here, that the housing element should be included in the findings of fact, and that we would remand this issue back to the Planning Commission with the housing element included.
So I do want to comment that the only way to effectively do that is to get an extension from the applicant if this were going to be remanded back to the Planning Commission. As Ms. Ferber noted, the 120-day rule is approaching in January, and the final decision has to be made by that point in time.
Okay. Well, then the other option, if the applicant did not wish to do that, would be to uphold the appeal tonight, which I would be leaning toward.
Okay.
Yeah, I have several kind of general questions. Who has jurisdiction?
Nancy, please come forward.
Okay. Who has jurisdiction over parking at not just this condominium, but other condominium developments? Do the city's comprehensive plan and ordinances take precedence over condo association bylaws?
That's two questions in one. So the first part, parking was messy at this site because of the rezoning and because it is mixed use with commercial and residential. So the allotted parking there, we, like I said, kind of inherited when it went from the general industrial to the S2A zone. So the parking is determined there already. Parking elsewhere is always determined by use. So it's true in a residential zone. If it's a single-family dwelling, there's two parking spots required. If it's multifamily dwelling, it's more. If it's commercial restaurant with takeout, it's different than a commercial restaurant with seating where people are coming and there's tables turning over. So that's...
Let me provide maybe a little bit more clarification, if I could, Ms. Ferber and Mayor. So our development code specifies a certain amount of parking spaces per use. In this case, because it's a commercial use, it's the ratio required is one space for every 500 square feet. And so for this type of use, there would be a total of two spaces required. There are also some covenants as a part of the condominium development in their CC&Rs, covenants and restrictions. There may be some separate parking provisions that are included in their restrictions that the city cannot enforce. However, the association could enforce outside of our requirements.
Okay, so the association actually has...
They may have some control.
Ultimate control.
And I'll give it a similar but different example. In the Mill Pond neighborhood, we have design review requirements for the Mill Pond Association. However, the Mill Pond Zoning District. However, the Mill Pond Association has design review separate from our process that has some different provisions. And so in this case, it's, the applicant would need to comply with the city's requirements and then ultimately address, separate from the city, the covenants within that, in this case, this building.
Okay. This question is for Chief Johnston. In some of these reports, we've read that the number of police calls on existing marijuana dispensaries in Astoria has been high. And I would like just your comment on that. Have you had a number of police calls? And if so, how much time is that taking away from other police matters?
That statement would not matter.
Thank you. and I think I know the answer to this, but I just want to make sure. Are all other marijuana dispensaries in commercial or industrial zones?
I don't know off the top of my head. I want to say yes, they're either C3 or C4 commercial zones.
Okay. Well, I agree with Councillor Nemlowil's remarks and also Frank Spence's comments in the Planning Commission minutes. These condos may be zoned shoreland tourists, but to all extents and purposes, the condominiums are residential buildings. And I will vote for the appellant.
I would add to the sections in the comprehensive plan that Councillor Nemlowil mentioned, also CP220.2, which is provide residential areas with services and facilities necessary for safe, healthful, and convenient urban living. And I realize we're kind of in the weeds here with residential areas in a shoreland A2, SA2 zone. It's just one of several problems that have come before us because we have not taken the time to discuss any sort of regulation about retail sales of marijuana, whereas other cities have. Portland certainly does. Portland, as far as I can tell, specifically prohibits marijuana retailing in existing mixed-use buildings with a residential emphasis. I mean, this is sort of one of the things that I think that we should be looking at, in addition to just the sheer number. The nearest dispensary is 11 blocks away. It's, you know, it's really not putting a burden. So I think that certainly the residents, the great majority of the residents feel that this is not appropriate. It's clear that there's a wide availability of similar shops. We have several sections of the comprehensive plan having to do with housing policies that I think that this goes against. So I would vote for the appeal as well and suggest that in the coming months we take a look at our policies regarding retail and medicinal marijuana facilities.
Okay. And I guess I could finish up.
Yep, go ahead, Mr. Moore.
In all of my time on City Council, I have tried to vote only the facts and the rules and that sort of thing. And in this case, since this is my last vote, I'm going to permit myself an absolutely emotional vote. And you know, those condos were built terribly. They leaked, sidings didn't hold the weather out. The people who originally bought their units there and people who own units now are having to pay thousands and thousands of dollars to repair work that never should have happened had the condos been built properly. They've been beat up terribly. I believe the most condo units similar to that one do not contain retail space that is owned outside of the homeowners association. And so under most conditions, the homeowners don't get a voice. And I think it's time for them to have a break, so I'm going to vote for the appellant, too.
Okay. I guess our question is, then, do we deny the appeal, approve the appeal, or remand the issue back to the Planning Commission? So I would entertain a motion to do one or the other.
So before you do that, as the findings right now are prepared for an approval, you're going to have to bring this back to you at another meeting. because they're going to need to be revised findings prepared. If you're looking at reversing the Planning Commission decision and approving the appeal, staff is going to need to prepare a new set of findings that you will review based upon your comments tonight, and it will be something that you will then consider as a part of a final vote.
So we don't deny the appeal then?
Well, I mean, if that's the route that you're wanting to take, there would be a motion to tentatively approve the appeal and direct staff to prepare revised findings. Now, the question I'm going to have for our city attorney is, we have a council, which will change here in less than 2 weeks. And so the question that I'm going to have is it the most appropriate thing to do to call a special meeting next week to be able to review these items?
That's a little bit of a question of what your preference would be. The new counselors are here tonight, have heard everything that went on. If they can represent that they've considered the record in full, they could vote next year. Or if you'd like to get this wrapped up by this year, you can do that.
So I guess Mayor and Council, that'd be your call.
I just soon get it wrapped up, but that's my own.
Mayor, if I may, I just have a question for our city attorney. Mr. Henningsgaard, can you help walk us through the process next time we are to meet with revised findings of fact? Would the applicant have an ability to testify? Would there be another public hearing?
No, the hearing's been closed.
Okay. My only concern with this, and this may be the way that it has to be, my only concern is fairness. The applicant has not had an opportunity to respond to the housing element issues that we've raised tonight. There were other findings of fact that were in the original staff report that the applicant was responding to. So I wonder if it's fair.
So, Mr. City Attorney, in terms of if the City Council were wishing to remand this back to the Planning Commission, there would need to be some dialogue with the applicant and his attorney as to whether or not they would grant a waiver to the 120-day rule, correct?
That would be right.
So that dialogue would need to happen tonight if that was a possibility of the City Council.
Now, I don't know if the mayor and other councilors share that concern or if they would like to get this wrapped up without it going back to Planning Commission, but I'm curious to hear.
What's your feeling, Councilor Warren?
I'm not sure how we can keep from sending it back to Planning Commission.
So you could, first of all, deny the application, approve the appeal with a revised set of findings. Okay. That would be a determination by the City Council.
Okay.
If it were to be remanded back to the Planning Commission, the applicant would need to approve a waiver to the 120-day rule to be able to provide adequate notice and additional time for this to come back potentially to another appeal before the City Council, depending on the Planning Commission's decision. And that, and in this case, under the Oregon State Land Use System, the applicant is the only individual who would be able to allow that additional time. So if the council's decision was to send it back to the Planning Commission, the applicant tonight would need to grant that waiver.
Okay, if it takes a while tonight to do it, if we can do it tonight, that's fine with me.
Well, I would say that staff would not be prepared tonight to revise a set of findings.
Okay, then we have to
come back.
We need to come back. Okay,
we need to come back.
That's fine.
Trust me, sir, I don't want to make this messy, but I am a little bit concerned from a legal standpoint. I'm not a legal expert, but if we are slapping on new findings that the applicant hasn't had an opportunity to address, that concerns me. Does that concern you at all, Mr. City Attorney?
No, I think these are issues that have been raised. This is a unique property, and you guys are the decision maker. As a matter of process, your decision with respect to the kind of appropriate development of those condos will carry a lot more weight than a planning commission decision. I mean, you set precedents in that regard. And so from what I've heard tonight, there's some fairly strong feelings about what is and is not appropriate in that setting. And that's, there is no other property in Astoria that's like that. So it could be of a lot of value for the city council to voice their opinion in that regard.
But it almost seems to me as though a denial would have to relate to the current findings of fact, flat out denial, and revising those findings. Is that not the case?
No, the findings of the Planning Commission don't bind you at all. The issues are whether or not the evidence supports the application as with respect to our code. And, you know, the criteria are subjective rather than objective. That is it compatible? Is it appropriate? Those kinds of things. And those types of decisions are subject to differences of opinion. And the City Council's opinion carries more weight than the Planning Commission opinion does. So, no, the issues of compatibility and appropriateness have been vetted at this level and at lower levels. So I don't think there's a problem there at all.
Okay. And also, Councillor Nimlowell, I'm not sure you would agree with me on this, but in my thinking, it was my consideration of this not being an appropriate use at this location, which was one of the standards that was one of the criteria that was considered. The underlayment for that is the comprehensive plan and the sections that you and I together mentioned. So, so it definitely goes back directly to what the Planning Commission looked at, the criteria that they looked at and considered.
I'm going to make a motion. I don't usually do that, but I'm going to recommend that the City Council approve the appeal, which will reverse the Planning Commission decision and deny the original request.
And you would be directing, this would be a tentative decision and directing staff to prepare revised finding of fact for your consideration at a subsequent meeting.
Correct.
Second.
Let's see.
So you just
Do we just need a roll call vote?
You can can do a roll call vote if you like.
Or just a up and down.
It can be a simple.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
So the question now is, Council, would you like to be able to call a special meeting before the end of the year to consider this?
Yeah.
Or would you like to add this to your first meeting in January with the new councilors? As our city attorney stated, you have your choice of either direction.
Well, what kind of time does staff have? What are your, do you have anything else to do between now and Christmas?
I mean, I'll tell you, it's probably going to be a push. I mean, to get a good set of findings completed before before next week.
How much time you need to read the staff report? Because typically we're sending a staff report ahead of time. But if you don't mind, if we can have more or less lag time to be able to present that to the council, we can do it a week from today. But I'd rather have my department come back to you.
Well, I'm not concerned about going. I'm not concerned. I'm not scared of you guys. I'm not concerned about coming back and facing a different decision or overburdening Tom and Bruce with a decision.
So what?
But I, whatever.
So do you want to meet saying before the end of the year?
Yeah, we could. We can get it done.
It's fine with me. Is everybody on the council going to be around after Christmas, say the week after Christmas?
I'd be on the side of Community Development Director Cronin's recommendation. If you guys don't agree, I'll go with what you want.
Are we talking
but
about January 3rd?
Yes, but Mr. War thought that this would be his last meeting tonight, and kind of think
I,
we should
I
give
think
him that.
That would be a wonderful outcome for me.
I'd also like to point out that this is really the findings are going to be a finding of denial of the permit, which are much easier to prepare than approval. I mean, the findings could be as simple as it's incompatible use next to a residential
sure.
place. And so the findings do not have to be as intricate for a denial as they would for an approval.
Okay. Let's do it this year then.
Yeah, I think so.
I think what Kevin was saying is staff can prepare these and have them available for you next week. It's just the lead time in advance of getting the packet will need to be shorter.
That's okay.
Okay.
So the week after Christmas,
sure.
Between Christmas and New Year's.
Okay. So if you're looking at dates, I want to look at. City Hall will be closed a week from today. We have the 27th and the 28th. I will note that I will not be here, but our assistant city manager, Brad Johnston, will be here those dates. Mr. City Attorney, are you here the 28th?
I will be visiting my grandson on the 28th.
The 27th, will you be here?
I think so, yes.
I will not be here on the 27th and the 28th, but I will be later in the week.
When are you going to be gone?
Mr.
Henningsgaard, what dates are you going to be gone?
The 28th is the only one I know about.
Just the 28th.
Is that a Friday?
No, that 28th is a Wednesday.
Wednesday. I can't tell you off the top of my head then.
Okay. Can we determine this by polling people after this meeting? Do we have to set it tonight?
Mr. City Attorney, do we need to set the date specific tonight?
I would advise that we set it a specific date and time.
When are you closed? Are you closed on the 30th?
No, we are available on the 30th.
This is going to be a very short meeting.
And I can appear by phone.
You can appear by phone. Okay. Okay. Do you have a preference, Councilor?
Thursday, December 29th, or Friday, December 30th, I would be available.
Okay.
Blair, were you available the 29th?
I'm not sure.
But you would be by phone?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll be available by phone, if nothing else.
Okay. I'm available. All right. So.
What's your date and
which
and
would
time?
You rather have, 29th or 30th?
I will not be here. So.
You will not be here. Okay.
Yes. So
29th. Thursday.
Okay. Good. What time?
10 a.m.
Do you want to do it in
o'clock?
The morning, or do we have to do it at night?
No, you can do it at any point in time.
10 a.m. Everybody will be here. Don't have to stay late.
Is that? Would that work for you?
Yes.
Okay, let's tentatively set it for the 29th at 10 a.m., then everybody go home and check and make sure that they can make it.
Well, this will be the date set, so.
Okay.
Okay, so we'll be reconvening on Tuesday, December 29th at 10 a.m. in the City Council chambers.
Thursday
the 29th.
Okay, now tell me, where are we?
We have one more item on the agenda.
Okay, thank you for all of your testimony tonight and for being so attentive. We really appreciate it. We do have another item on our agenda if anybody wants to stick around. The Trolley Trestle Repair Project, 2017.
At your October 2016 meeting, the council approved a design services contract with OBEC Engineers to assist with the completion of critical trestle maintenance work. And as you may recall, this was needed as the analysis which was done on the trestles had determined that there was a need of some significant repairs to be able to keep the Riverwalk and the trolley open along the waterfront. During this design process, it became apparent that maintenance work will need to be postponed until early April. So to allow the trolley to safely operate during March, which is when they start operation, a supplemental inspection is needed to verify the condition of the critical portions of the trestle. OBEC has provided an estimate for this work for an amount of $12,665. I would note that the Riverfront Trolley Association has agreed to split this cost of the supplemental inspection because it's a necessary step to allow for operation for spring break. We do have members of the Trolley Association here in the audience tonight to be able to show their support for this matter. This additional inspection work does not guarantee the trolley's operation, but will assist staff in determining whether safe operation can be permitted and whether or not there are additional repairs that are going to be needed to be able to allow for that operation to be able to occur. This additional inspection work will also provide staff and the consultant with information necessary to be able to determine the most cost-effective way to be able to do the larger repairs which are needed to be able to allow for ongoing operation of the trolley and allow the Riverwalk to be able to remain an amenity for our citizens. While an exact figure has not been determined by OBEC, it is appearing that the initial cost estimates which were provided by staff are going to be higher than anticipated, and this will be able to help refine figures to be able to come back to council at a later time to be able to have a better understanding of what those expenses will be. So tonight it's recommended that council approve the contract amendment number one for the additional inspection services for the 2017 Trolley Trestle Repair Project.
Okay. Any comments or questions from the council?
You need a motion.
Hearing none, could we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Thank you. We now have time for new business and miscellaneous public comments. So if there's anyone here who wants to speak on any other item that we didn't talk about yet tonight, you're welcome to come up to the podium at this time.
Christopher Arner, 3023 Harrison Avenue, Astoria. I have two unrelated items I wanted to bring to your attention tonight. The first one I can dispose of rather quickly. Some of you are aware of some concerns about some of the water quality being served to the citizens of Astoria, and it's probably not a real big concern, but because it hasn't really been fully revealed to everyone, I've spoken with several people in the past few days that have concerns about the quality of water they're drinking. One person, a pregnant young woman. So I think they deserve to have all the information we have about what's going on with our water, the haloacetic acid, trihalomethanes, whatever's in there. Just tell everybody about it. Give us all the information we need. People feel a lot better about it. We're not pointing fingers at anybody. We're not trying to cause problems, but there's concern, and you can deflate a lot of that just by giving us all the information you have.
Can I respond to that, Mr. Farrar?
Certainly, if I'm not yielding my time.
No. Mr. Cook, isn't it true that a letter was sent out to all water?
They just got back from the printers. They will get mailed tomorrow or Wednesday.
And Mr. Farrar, I would note, if you direct people to the homepage of the city's website, there's a memorandum which explains all the technical issues on it on the city's webpage, and it also has the contact information for our water supervisor. Should anyone have any questions, they can call Mr. Bufkin and direct any questions to him.
And I think that's excellent, and I appreciate that very much. And I noticed also in looking on the website that you're looking for a new water quality manager or something for the city, I think. Or maybe I didn't get that right. I don't know. That's not correct. Oh, I was hoping that was true. Well, even if it's not, I appreciate you putting out the letter and informing people, because that's what will give people a confidence, and then you don't have a rebellion on your hands. That's all I'm saying. But the most important thing that I wanted to say tonight was to express my appreciation to my counselor. I'm in Ward 4, and that's Russ Warr's ward. Russ Warr's ward. I always like saying that. And as you heard, Russ been on the council for 12 years. You know, two nights a month, you got to come here and listen to people like me babble and all the stuff that went before in these packets that are rarely only 100 pages. They're mostly 200 pages, and some of them even longer. And Russ always came here really well prepared. He hardly ever missed a meeting, and really one of the most well-prepared counselors here. He always knew the issues. He always had his position clear in mind, and he could express it. And some of you may have been to some of these other meetings and seen how, you know, Russ and I were 360 degrees apart, if that's possible. You know, he's often on a different track than me, but I appreciate the fact that he was so well prepared and could express that position, that kind of maybe a little more conservative side, and he did it really well, and he gave the people that feel that way confidence that somebody was up here representing them. And so I'm really thankful for his time here, even though oftentimes he and I don't agree politically. I hope in the future when I meet Russ, he's a rock guy, you know, and I'm a geologist, so I hope we can talk about plutonic rocks and things like that. It's interesting stuff. But I'll just say that it's really important on this council not to have 5-0 decisions all the time. 4-1, 3-2 is really a good thing to have. Give those people maybe the 1-4. They've got a voice.
Thank you, Mr. Farrar. Anyone else? Okay.
Yes, I believe I've introduced myself already. I'd just like to ask for the city's guidance, given the decision tonight on appropriate use for the S2A zone, for what type of businesses the city would consider appropriate and allowable, given the type of zone compared to what's outright allowable there for like fish processing, boat repair, and combining that with the available parking in the complex, which is very limited for commercial, even though like today usage was 20.7% of the spaces were occupied by cars there. So parking spaces are, you know, are highly available in that area. And so I guess I have a in view of these decisions, I'm kind of confused. I'm not a marijuana user, so I'm not, you know, I understand everyone's concern, but I also have to look at it from the reality of standpoint is, okay, so now what am I going to put in there that's going to be a better use that will have a lower impact onto the residences? And right now it doesn't look good, so I'm looking for city guidance.
I think maybe our city attorney has some concerns about providing some direction tonight with regards, since we haven't...
Yeah, it wouldn't be appropriate to discuss this application after the hearing is closed, so that's something you work with staff to...
Okay. Which staff member in particular? Okay, Kevin. All right, Kevin.
We already have a date in New Year to talk about parking.
Okay, perfect. We'll have a date. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, thank you for attending, and this meeting is adjourned.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, yeah.
Holidays.
Whatever.